spin stops and the fun begins as Cowboys team owner and GM Jerry Jones visits with Dunham and Miller every Tuesday morning at 8:10. Brought to you by Chuck Fairbanks Chevrolet and Brennan Mortgage on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
It is 6:14. This is Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. Good evening, everybody. You're listening to The Hardline. I would be Mike Reiner.
I would be Greg Williams.
And we are joined this evening by the remainder of the crew. The Cobra is here, as is Danny Paul, Kevin Scott, scaling Mount 12 Big Ones, Justin Neely at the helm, Barb Smith with Trafico, on the road Ken with the blower. Got about 45 minutes or so here in the presentation for tonight. And we'll get into a look at the Little Mavericks as they get ready for action over at the AAC. In just a little bit here. That'll be in the next segment. Right now, though, it's 6:14 on The Ticket.
And hello! Buddha Quack Ale! Buddha Quack Ale! Buddha Quack Ale! And hello! Buddha Quack Ale! Buddha Quack Ale! Buddha Quack Ale! Go! Stop! Well, all wrong! Step! Wrong!
All right, time for Community Quick Hits.
Thank you, Michael. I appreciate that.
Here's Cobra.
All right, so we don't often have guests during Community Quick Hits. Sometime Robert Wolanski will pop on from the Observer.
No, we don't. I feel like this is an interloper in here now.
Sometime Wolanski will come on and help us out. But tonight, we have a very special guest. She is Beth Ann Blackwood. She will be... Are you running right now for city council? Is that campaign underway?
Yes, it is.
It is? Okay. And you're also the woman who's behind trying to get the strong mayor into Dallas, which obviously we don't have right now, correct?
That's correct.
And you're controversial because a lot of people don't buy into what you're doing, from what I've gathered. They don't maybe believe that what you're doing is on the up and up, that you're in cahoots with Mayor Miller right now. Just tell us how this all got started and where you're at right now.
Well, it got started in trying to see how you could actually make a difference and make the city run better and make city council something that actually works. I came to the conclusion that you couldn't do that under the current system we have. Even with everybody trying as hard as they can try and doing the best they can do, our system is just outdated and outmoded. And so at that point, I decided I'd like to see if I could try to get this changed, and looked up how to do it, and it turns out if you get 20,000 signatures, you can get this thing on the ballot. So that's what we went and did. But the big deal here is I don't think most people realize that a city manager runs the city.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're unhappy with potholes or crime or any city service or how the city's doing or jobs or anything like that, you can't fire the person that's actually responsible for those things, and that is the city manager. What this proposal does is it puts the mayor in charge and makes the mayor responsible. So if the mayor doesn't do a good job and doesn't do things like reduce crime or whatever it is that the citizens really want, then you can kick that person out of office and get somebody who will. It just puts accountability in our city government for the first time in maybe ever, in a very long time.
Is that a true statement, that the city manager actually runs it? Because doesn't the mayor, under the weak mayor-council system, doesn't the council and the mayor set policy and direction, and it's just the city manager's job to implement that?
That's correct. But the city manager then, if you tell the city manager to go reduce crime, then that's the city manager's job to get the people that will do that job and make that happen.
But isn't that the only way to have a city manager that's unelected? Isn't that the only way to have accountability under this system?
Oh, absolutely not. There's no accountability. The way our system works is you can't fire that city manager unless
the mayor just did that.
Unless you have 11 votes. No, the city manager quit. Mayor did not fire the city manager.
Ed Benavides wasn't fired?
No.
Well, the mayor's taking credit for it.
Well, I can't.
She's taking credit for getting him out of there.
I can't do anything about that.
Okay.
But no, it takes 11 votes to get the city manager fired, which means the city manager at any given time only has to keep five people happy, and that's not too difficult. So we've had a succession, I think, of not very good city managers or city managers that, that couldn't work with the city council. And the result is the city keeps going downhill, and there's nobody that the voters can have a say in making the city work.
You know, I'm kind of with you, because I happen to think that the strong mayor, I mean, you look at some of the strong mayor, weak council cities. I mean, you're talking about the largest cities in the United States. You're talking about New York, you're talking about Chicago, you're talking about San Francisco. And those seem to be working, but you can't say that this form of government doesn't work, because all you have to do is look at Phoenix. Look at Phoenix. I mean, they have the same form of government as Dallas. I mean, look at San Jose, California, and the things they can get implemented there. So you can't really say it doesn't work. Sometimes it lies in the districts and the council and somebody pulling all of that together. And I don't think Dallas has had a mayor to do that in the past two decades.
I think that's right. And I think it can work. Obviously, it has worked for some cities. And there have been studies that shown that it works really well in medium-sized cities. Doesn't work real well in small cities. It's rare when it works real well in large cities. And if you look at the 10 largest cities in the United States, 8 of them have a strong mayor form of government. Houston is a good example. I mean, Houston has done a major turnaround in 5 years. That could never have happened here in Dallas. Even if we'd all wanted it to, it couldn't have happened.
We joked for years, these guys especially, that Houston was nothing more than an overblown toilet.
A toilet. And then we went down there for the All-Star game last year and saw that in the Super Bowl, and saw that it's anything but.
It's shocking.
Especially when you go west from downtown.
Now
the east is still a toilet. But
now, they switched forms of government when?
Long time ago. They've had a strong mayor form of government for a long time. They've made some charter amendments, but the basic principle has been in place for quite some time.
So what's, you've got the 20,000 signatures.
Right.
So now it's
you've already got that.
Got it.
So it's going to be on the referendum, right?
Right.
When is that?
May 7th.
Okay.
And then the citizens of Dallas, I read a quote of yours saying that, you know, 20,000 people want this in Dallas.
Right.
That's probably not enough to get it passed, is it? On a May 7th referendum?
You know, probably not. And that statement is made because we had 30,332 people sign the petition. So I think that's an indication that people are ready for change. We've also done polling that shows that the majority of people are in favor of this. So
who's not, and why wouldn't they be? Council members right now?
Council members are not for it.
Yeah, because they want to have more say in what goes on.
Right, and frankly, you're not really taking away the city council power so much as you're adding to the mayors from the city manager. So the city council members still set policy, they still pass laws, they still do all that, but a lot of them...
But if they've got a stronger mayor in the way, they can't just run roughshod over things like they have before, right?
That's correct. They're not able to do that. For example, let me give you a good example. Right now, our city charter says that a city council member can't interfere with any staff member and can't tell them to do anything. They're forbidden by charter from doing that. But our city council members do that every day. And the result is city code enforcement, city streets, can never get a system going because they're getting a call from a council member telling them to go do this right now. And the city manager won't stand up and say, hey, you know, I control my people. We need to have an orderly organization. I can never get this game plan going because you guys keep jerking my people off. The city manager won't stand up and refuse to allow the council members to do that. And that's been a tradition in Dallas.
Okay, now that's a good argument. But, you know, there's another side to that argument, too. And that's that all of a sudden you're going to create a Boss Tweed situation. And you're going to create Tammany Hall down there.
Well,
to where that you've got a lot of special interest groups that are putting pressure on one guy who's the CEO of an entire city and a multi-million dollar budget, and you're going to have special interest groups that are controlling one guy that sets the policy and implements the policy. So there is give and take.
Well, the city council still sets policy.
They set the policy, but the mayor has veto power.
No, the mayor does not.
Under our
charter amendment, the mayor does not have veto power. That's why the strong mayor, in a sense, is a little bit of a misnomer, because in the spectrum of strong mayor systems, this would be called the weaker end of the strong mayor.
But he's got centralized executive power.
He's got the power to run the city.
So then a better name for this might be weak city manager.
No, because
as opposed to there's no city manager.
There's no city manager. That's right.
As opposed to strong mayor.
Right. Well, it puts somebody in charge, and that's really what we're wanting. We're wanting somebody in charge that the voters can kick out or elect. Which right now, the person in charge of the city manager, who has been weakened by the city council members running over them, won't stand up, and us voters just have to sit here and take it. We have no say in making that person stay or leave.
All right, this is Beth Ann Blackwood, running for city council, pushing the strong mayor thing. And we sit up here every day and bitch about how Dallas is a can't-do city. I mean, after all that's happened here in the last 10 years, where nothing really ever gets done. And we just sit here and bitch about it.
He's even got a T-shirt that says so.
It's true. Why would you, who is a successful lawyer, right?
Right.
Why would you even get... Because this is a mess. And it's really hard to get people to go out and get 20,000 signatures for anything. I don't care if it's, hey, do you like the USA? Sign here. I mean, it's hard to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a pretty big task. Why would you even think about doing that? Were you that fed up with it all? That pissed?
Well, I'm fed up, but I'm of the put up or shut up mentality. If I'm going to gripe about it, then I need to stand up and do something about it, or else I need to
shut up. Good for you. We're lazy. We're apathetic, you know? We like to sit here and bitch about it.
Well, no, you are.
We're good at it, too.
Oh, yeah, we are.
You know, I think it would be better, because I think Dallas has moved into that, and it's certainly not, doesn't have the population or the budget of a New York City or Chicago or even San Francisco, but it's moving that way.
Right.
And sometimes, you know, this form of government is more conducive to running a big-time city. But then I keep looking at Phoenix. You know, I've been to Phoenix many times, and Phoenix is a terrific city, and that, you know, I'm told, and I don't live there, but, you know, I'm told that that thing runs like a well-oiled machine.
But is Phoenix that divided? I mean, you know how each of our districts are split up.
Yes, it's very divided.
It is? It's not?
Yeah.
I thought it was more homogenized than Dallas was.
It's a suburban area just like Dallas. I mean, you've been there. You know where Peoria is.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think they've had a history of council infighting like we have had.
Well, that's because of the redistricting. The redistricting was a problem. When they drew up those new districts, that's what caused a problem on the council.
Well,
maybe they need to go back to seven districts like they used to have.
We can't do that. I mean, we're under a federal judge said we have to do it this way, so this is the way we've got to do it. But we need to get beyond all the infighting. Atlanta had a deeply divided population. Mm-hmm. And Atlanta managed to at least fight behind closed doors and come out with the united front, even with all the diversity that they have. That's something we haven't learned to do. And every time you get a city council meeting where city council members are yelling at each other and calling each other names, that's another resident that doesn't want to move here, another business that says, there's no way I'm going to Dallas. And
well,
that kind of thing has to stop.
I don't think there's any question. You know, I don't have any stats on this. But I don't think there's any question that over the years there's probably been businesses that have been turned off because of this city government, because you just can't get anything done.
Well, let me tell you something really interesting. I was talking to a guy that used to work for the NFL, and part of his job was to go to different cities to see if they would be appropriate for a Super Bowl. And they looked at many factors, not just did you have a big enough stadium. And one of the factors they looked at was consistency in government, the stability of government. And he told me, Dallas, I don't care if they had a wonderful stadium and they had everything, all the other factors, they'll never pass on consistency in government.
They may not, but I'll bet you as much money as you want to drag up here that if they get a new stadium, they'll have a Super Bowl.
In Arlington,
I don't care if the Seven Dwarfs are running.
Well, Arlington will.
But they have to award it to Dallas. I mean, it's going to be played in Arlington. But
right.
Dallas is going to be the factor because they're the ones that are probably going to benefit because of the hotel rooms. Hey, you don't have to worry about me. I'll be the first one to go down there and vote for it.
Well, they would make the award, though, to Arlington. Arlington would get, that's the city they would be looking at. Dallas would be great because we get a lot of hotel rooms. But Arlington's the one that's going to get it and not Dallas.
All right, now, I think I would be on board with what you're trying to do here, just at a glance without really looking into it that closely. I think I would be on board with the idea of a strong mayor, but not this mayor.
Well, this is...
What do you do about that?
You
get her out of here, Beth Ann.
You wait 20 months and elect somebody else.
Now you're not aligned with Laura Miller, are you?
No.
Because that, you know, a lot of people have accused you of having that alignment just because you're trying to get this right now.
And
right.
one other thing that does, I mean, that puts a whole new emphasis on you better do your research and you better elect the right person.
Right. But at least you have the opportunity to actually elect the person that's running your city, unlike the opportunity we've ever had.
Because when you elect a mayor, you're electing a dictator. Pretty much. I mean,
can't go along with that.
But, I mean, they're going to have a lot of power to do things, and they can, and as I said earlier, they can be heavily influenced by special interest groups. Heavily.
Well, what's the council right now? It's the same thing.
True, but they don't have the power.
They're only, sound like they have that only, much power
they're
under
only,
this.
They're only one vote. They're only one vote. You know, I mean, you get a special interest group that gets a hold of one councilman, and, you know, he can vote one way, but you've got a lot of others that can cancel out his vote. But under this, the mayor...
Well, let me tell you something that goes on right now. Planning and zoning. There's a planning and zoning commission. They make recommendations to city council. It's been an unwritten rule that every city council member will follow the vote of the city council member in whose district the zoning change is sought. And the problem with that is... You can heavily influence that one council member, and you only have to get the one council member to get your zoning in place, which zoning is one of the biggest issues in Dallas as far as influence peddling. And so what they do right now at city council is if a certain district member votes for it and it's in their district, all the other council members follow right along. They vote the way that district member does, and they say, gee whiz, you know, it's our unwritten rule that we're always going to follow that council member.
Why is that? I mean, how does that benefit one particular district in the zoning?
It ensures that every time a zoning question comes up in anybody's district, that council member has a whole lot of power because it's all up to them. So when you're talking about influence peddling and things like that, that goes on right now today because of that. And that's one thing.
Wow, I didn't know that. There's a little quid pro quo going on there.
And that's one thing, as a city council member, I won't do, which won't make me extremely popular with my fellow council members, but I'm hoping at some point somebody else will join hands and cross over the line and say, hey, you know, this isn't right. Got 14 council members. We're supposed to vote and represent our districts and not just blindly follow along.
How long has that been going on?
Ever since I came.
Years.
Remember. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never heard of this before.
Yeah.
Have you had any council members pull you aside and be like, what the hell are you doing? What's going on here? Any emails or anything like that? Any negativity towards you personally from those people?
No, they just tell the media they don't like me.
Really?
You know what? I applaud your courage because it's going to take somebody like you that's going to take the initiative to do something like this. Because I promise you, right now down there at City Hall, nobody wants this because it affects them.
Right.
I applaud you on that.
Well, thanks.
I'll vote for you, and I'll vote for this.
All right.
So what do we need to know? We need to know May the 7th?
May the 7th.
And then what is your spot is vacant that you're running for, right?
Right. So there'll be at least 7 or 8 people running for the same spot.
Well, remember Beth Ann Blackwood, everybody.
And one more thing, if I could. The website is citizensforastrongmayor.com, and it has on it all the information you could ever want to know about this.
Cool.
Excellent.
Great.
Hey, thanks for coming
up
here today.
Yeah,
nice to meet you.
Very good.
That is the city council candidate, Beth Ann Blackwood, on Community Quick Hits, brought to you by Subaru. The Little Mavericks are in action tonight over at the AAC. We'll see what they're up to next.